Good morning to everyone today. It's a blessing to be here. I have already been richly blessed by the songs that Jeremiah chose this morning, and I guess I just wanted to take a few minutes to testify on them. So he's saying, what a friend we have in Jesus, and as we were singing the song, I was reminded of when I was first born again. In our culture, salvation was very rare. And when I had become born again, it was a large cost to count. I had forsaken all my friends, and it was basically a loner. Didn't have anyone to disciple me in any way, but I had this song. And it always brought so much peace and comfort and courage to me. You know, it says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And that song tied in also very well with the other song that Jeremiah let out in this morning. Once I was bound by sin's galling fetters, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. And the song goes on to say, that freedom from all the carnal affections, freedom from envy, hatred, and strife, freedom from vain and worldly ambitions, freedom from all that saddened my life, freedom from pride and freedom from sinful follies, freedom from love and glitter of gold, freedom from evil, temper, and anger, glorious freedom, rapture untold. This song just spoke so much joy and encouragement in my heart. This is not to come. This is now. We get to live this. And yes, thank you. So thank you for that. We get to come to church this morning, only partially here. Eva had her wisdom teeth cut out on Thursday, so she's still healing from the swelling. So she would have loved to be here. So if you think of it, you can pray for healing. I just also want to express gratitude for the life that I get to live. Express gratitude that I get to be here today. Not just simply here at Berean Christian Fellowship, but here, in this life that I've been allowed to live up to this point. I'm grateful for the trials. I'm grateful for the hard times. I'm grateful for the joys. To live in this dispensation, God has provided this for us, and I'm just grateful for that. A while back, I started in 1 Peter, and we covered chapter 2. And as I meditated on what I would like to share this morning, I decided that I would like to continue in the book of 1 Peter. And we'd start continue on in chapter 2. So chapter 2, verse 1 starts off and says, wherefore? And I'd just like to maybe do a little bit of recap of what we covered last time. So in chapter 1, verse 2, we learned that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God through sanctification of the Spirit and obedience, the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. So we learned that we were chosen according to the foreknowledge of God through salvation. Verse 4 says that we were chosen to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. We talked about how we have many inheritances here in this world that we can receive, and yet they are corruptible. But this inheritance is incorruptible. Verse 5, we learned that we are kept by the power of God. And this keeping, this word kept, is in the Greek, it brings out this illustration of a military-type protection, where the Lord is protecting and keeping his children. In verse 7, we learn that the trial of our faith is more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, we learned that of old time, the prophets, they read and they understood that there was some sort of redeemer was to come, and we learned that they sought the scriptures diligently to try and figure out how and when and where this thing would come about. Verse 13, we received a call to gird up the loins of our mind, to be sober, and to hope unto the end the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we're told to just pick up, be sober, and be alert. Verse 18, it says, "For as much as ye know that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold," but 19 says, "but with the precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot." So this salvation that we have received, we were not purchased with something that can be corrupted. You know, we received an inheritance that is incorruptible, but we've also been purchased with something that can be that is incorruptible. It is the precious blood of Christ. In verse 22, it says, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit to unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So here, Paul, I see this is he's writing, and he's trying to put our attention onto the greatness of this salvation that we have received, and trying to somehow communicate the power and the freedom that we can have to continue on. And so we see this also now, if we were to jump into, well, let's just jump into chapter 2. So he says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings." So, you know, Peter just went through all this, described all these things, this glorious freedom that we have. It says, "Wherefore, because of all of this, let's lay aside all of this, all hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings." And he says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." So he's drawing this illustration that just as a young child, a baby, desires milk and they crave it, they'll cry for it. He's illustrating that all these things that he just shared with us in chapter 1, it's like it's the milk that we as the children of God desire. It says, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So if it is true that we have seen the Lord and that we know that he is gracious, this is like milk to us, and we desire it sincerely, that we may grow by it. This encouragement that we're reading about, these truths, these promises, are there for us that we may grow thereby. If it so be that we have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Then we jump to verse 4, and we kind of want to group verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 all in one. So, verse 4, "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious, But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. I think there's a lot more in these verses than what I plan on pulling out today. But I want to pull out this illustration that Peter is bringing about, this illustration that we're building a building. We're constructing something, we're building something. And that there's these stones that we're building this building. And when we take a look at life, no matter what it is that we want to pursue, whether it be missions or business or raising a family, teaching somewhere, wherever it may be, we have certain stones that we'll use to go and build the future of our lives. So for missions, you know, it might be the building stone of understanding culture, of learning how to teach, learning how to relate with people, so make good communication skills. These would be vital stones required for the mission field. Whether it's you're wanting to run a business, there's stones that you require there too. There's leadership. There's understanding marketing. There's understanding sales and all these different aspects. There's these stones that we use to build these buildings. Whether it's in our families, we have stones that we use to build these buildings. And in Isaiah 28, the Lord has also provided a stone in this building. Isaiah 28:16 says, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." So we see the Lord has also provided this stone. He says that's not just any stone, but he also says it's a foundation stone. It's a tried stone. And not just that, but it's a precious cornerstone. And that's what I'd like to touch on a little bit more today. So we think about, no matter what it is that we're seeking to pursue in life, whether it's a combination of things, be it raising a family, running a business, whether it's mission fields, whether it's even living an average, normal life, all of these categories, I believe that in order to be successful in them, you require to be at least have a good mental health, if I can describe it that way. Someone who's unstable and is easily swayed, is easily discouraged, does not have very good mental health. So when we look into the world and say, for instance, some of these top athletes, they can't perform that way without good, solid mental health. And I'm not saying that they have Jesus, but I'm saying that they do need to take positive action in order to surround themselves with the right type of people to stay within a positive mindset, or else they could never perform the way they do. And it's the same that's true with very successful businessmen, that unless they surround themselves with positive influence, they won't go and succeed. It's just far too difficult. Same thing with families. Families need to have another source of something to draw out of, to link arms with, to receive encouragement, to go and bring about a positive environment that propels us forward. Now I'm talking just looking into the world. I'm not talking specifically about the church, because I believe that we can have good, solid families outside of Christ. The Bible does say that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But I think it doesn't take only Christendom to go and raise a good, solid family. It doesn't take Christendom to run a marathon or something. But I do want to say that we do have Jesus, and God has provided us this cornerstone. And I don't want to say that Jesus is only mental health, that salvation is only here for our mental health, but I do believe that it is a part of it. Salvation is far greater than that. And when I think of what Peter is talking about here, and the fact that it says that there is a living stone that has been disallowed or has been rejected, not just by the world, but by the very Israelites themselves. And he's like, yeah, I believe that with this cornerstone that I see here is also rejected by the so-called church, by and large, which is where I'd like to zero in on. So, in this world, whether we are, just in this world, it is filled full of hurt, grief, wickedness. We're bombarded with trials and difficulty from every angle. This world is fallen, wicked, and sinful. Let's just face it, we face a lot of trials every single day. We face a lot of difficulty. And we need something in order to propel us forward. And I don't think that these trials and these difficulties should take us by surprise. We read in John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, "These things I have spoken unto you," "spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." I want us to come to this point where we accept and understand that in this world we shall have tribulation. It will happen. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." I just want us to realize that this world is filled with full of sin. It is filled full of wickedness. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. And that we're to not think it strange. Like, why did this terrible thing happen to me? "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." This is normal life. This is the life that we are left with here on this earth, this sin-filled, cursed world. Jumping back to John 16, it says, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's what I want to focus on, to be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. No matter how difficult and trialsome and burdensome, no matter how terrible we've been treated in the past, we can come to a place of good cheer because Jesus says he has overcome the world. And this stone, I believe, this cornerstone is often rejected. See, we worry about the things that may come in the future, the unknowns. We can't forgive those who've hurt us in the past. We dwell in the past and try to figure out why all these things are wrong with us. And all these things, as we focus and we continue to dwell on these things, it brings us to a place of a poor mental state. And I believe Jesus came to be a redeemer of that as well. It brings us to a place of inaction. We can't move forward. It brings us to a place of discouragement, as if some strange thing happened to us. In 1 John 5, verse 4, it says, "Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to encourage us this morning that we are overcomers in Jesus Christ. Are we stuck in the past? Are we stuck in discouragement? Are we stuck in inaction? If we are, I fear that we are rejecting this cornerstone that Jesus has come to deliver us. Oh, glorious freedom we sang about this morning. We sang freedom from pride, freedom from envy, freedom from strife. We are overcomers. Jesus says that, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The world rejects this cornerstone. Let's not be named among them. In Romans 8:37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. This is the freedom. This is not just some wishful position that is somewhere out there, out of reach. This thing of being more than conquerors is Jesus Christ. This is salvation. In Romans 9:32 and 33 says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Here it is again. They're stumbling at the stumbling stone, Jesus. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. This is what I see. This freedom is the fact that we can be of good cheer, the fact that we can live above the world, that we can be overcomers, and we're not bound by our past. We're not bound by shame and discouragement, is rejected by and large in the church and in the world. In Isaiah 40, I want us to just, as we're reading through these things, I want us to believe that this is a true state that we can be living daily. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We are called to live in a different reality than the one we're experiencing. We're experiencing the reality of this sin-cursed world, but we're called to live in the reality of God, that he is in control, that we can trust in him. That, you know, when we've been purchased and we've been bought by Jesus, then it doesn't matter what happens in the future. It doesn't matter what happened in the past. Our lives are given to him. We live in a reality of God. And because we trust in him, we can be free from all these, free from envy and hatred and pride. And we can soar above the world. We can be overcomers. And we can mount up with wings as eagles. We can run and not be weary. We shall walk and not faint. There's an endless source of power and energy from the Lord. And I guess I just ask, like, I find this even for myself. The Lord is continuing to try my faith as well. He'll bring a difficulty and a trial in my life like one I've never experienced before. And I'll take it upon myself and I'll begin to get burdened by it. And I'll live like this, depending what it is. Sometimes it's a couple months. And I'll come to realize, wait a minute, the Lord has got this too. We can be free. And we can mount up and be overcomers. We don't need to figure this life out. Jesus has figured it out for us. So We talked about some of the things already that we can be free from. Free from envy, pride, hatred, doubt, bitterness, sin. We can be free from sin. Not just the penalty of the sin, but the very acts of sin. We can be free from the acts of sin. We can be free from our past. This is the freedom in Jesus that we can live from. This stone, this chief cornerstone. It says, so we talk about this chief cornerstone. I think of a building. So he also talks somewhere about a foundation in Isaiah. When I think of concrete is really strong. But unless we lay the rebar in it, it falls apart. So you can build this foundation, it looks great. But this chief cornerstone, this rebar, this trust in Jesus Christ, this freedom and this position is like the rebar in the foundation that holds it together, this chief cornerstone. And so let's continue on in verse, I don't think I'm at the right spot here. Verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So let's not stumble. Let's not reject it, but let's embrace it, that we have this freedom. Verse 9 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So he says, we are a chosen generation. God chose us in this dispensation, after Christ, this generation that we are in right now. And God has chosen us to be a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And I guess this word peculiar in our modern English is described as strange, odd, and unusual. When we look at the a Greek, apparently it means something along the lines of being a special, set-apart people, and which would, I guess, fit in with the context of a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a chosen generation. But I don't know, I guess I find even if we were to take that word and let it mean strange, odd, and unusual, I find joy in that. I find joy in that, and I'm actually proud to be a peculiar person, because we are odd, we are strange, we're different than the world. I don't know what direction, you know, coming from past settings where we've been a part of, you know, the emphasis was put on being peculiar because you dressed a certain way, or you did a certain things, and I think being peculiar is much more glorious than that. We can live above the world. We live different than the world. We have a freedom and we have a joy in Jesus Christ. And that is odd. It is strange. It's unusual. Like, what's different with you? By the life we live, we should show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we're to sing forth his praises, that we can live above the world, to be overcomers. And has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So what darkness has he called us out of? This darkness that we sang about this morning, this list right here, this darkness is what we've been called out of. Into what light? What marvelous light? The marvelous light of freedom from all these things. This peculiar position. We've been called into this marvelous light. And then verse 10 is referring, so it says, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So there was a time where this people that he's referring to here, they were not a people. They were not a chosen, they were not a holy nation, a peculiar people. But they are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. So, dearly beloved, I beseech you, in this, as strangers and pilgrims, that's what we are. We're strangers in this world. We're pilgrims. Let us abstain from fleshly lusts which war against our soul. Our soul has been purified. We have a new position. Let's abstain from these things which destroy it. And then verse 12 and on continues into a little bit of a different topic. And I guess as I was studying, I did not think I was going to have time to cover that topic thoroughly, and it looks like I misjudged time. But regardless, I just want to encourage us to live in the freedom. It is not just something makeshift that's out there that we can't quite reach, something that's just outside of our grasp. We can actually live in our experience freedom from all these things on a daily experience. Let's not reject this precious cornerstone. You know, I mentioned that these top performers need some sort of positive, healthy mental state. And Jesus Christ provides that for us. That is a part of what he provides for us. The fact that we can trust him in all of life's cares. Oh, how much needless pain we often bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, that is all I have this morning. It looks like we would have had time to cover the last part of chapter 2, but I didn't prepare for it, so may the Lord bless.